Hey, yes.
Hey,
How's your week been?
It's been great. How's your week been?
How's your week been?
It's been great. It's been great. I feel like I've lost our minds a bit this week recording this podcast.
We've done a good time, haven't we?
We've had a good time.
Good time. This is the Safe Space Podcast,
a cozy corner of the internet where we share queer stories from the past and present to reveal the things they didn't teach you in school.
What have we got lined up today, Hess?
Well, we got a bit sentimental today, didn't we?
We had a great time.
We got pretty deep.
Very deep. Because I think we're at the point in time that we're at right now, it's really scary. Obviously, I watch content all the time and stuff, and it's just content. It's like legislations against LGBTQ plus people. It's really damaging on the mind, and I think we both felt that.
Yeah, we did. Independently.
So, and then came together, wrote our little things.
We came to the same conclusion. This week is basically about trying to foster some joy and some hope for everyone. Mm-hmm. LGBT people, people of all ages, people of all sexualities, genders, whatever. Race, class, whatever. It's about everyone and it's about life. And I'm quite proud of this episode, I've got to say.
It's important.
It's very important.
What we do is important every day, but this one felt good.
This
felt good, didn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, great. We are talking about fostering trans joy. You delve into that, don't you?
I do. So I have been reading a book by Leslie Feinberg.
Fantastic person.
Yeah, called Transgender Warriors, and I found some amazing quotes from some unsung heroes that I thought would be good to read out for their perspectives about gender from the past. Mm-hmm. And present, and talk a little bit about their lives and what happened in their lives and how fruitful their lives were.
A really important message to get across now at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Next, I dive into the generation changes that happen every 80 years and kind of reflect on what's happened in the past 80 years. Specifically, I delve into LGBTQ plus rights and their views.
So it's about the different generations and everything they've brought to the table.
Exactly. Really fun. I really enjoyed looking at that. I find generation and sociology in that sense really interesting. Because it's just trauma based on what you've lived through generates how you then view the world and change the world. Next, I then chat about James Baldwin.
Oh, yeah.
Don't I give you my favourite quote from James Baldwin and why everyone needs to hear it. So I hope you're looking forward to it.
Yeah, James Baldwin is an absolute god. I love him.
Well, enjoy, guys. Let's dive right in.
So, Emma, there are currently several anti-trans laws being debated and implemented across different states in the USA. These laws seek to limit the rights and protections of transgender people in the participation of sports, in restricting their rights to enter different spaces, through healthcare restrictions, restricting access to gender-affirming healthcare, and through religious exemptions, which are laws that would allow businesses and individuals to refuse service based on their religious beliefs. In addition, here in the UK, the government are considering changing the 2010 equality law to redefine sex to refer specifically to a person's sex at birth. This is designed to make it legal for those who are transgender to be banned from single-sex spaces and events. So, from anything from book clubs to hospital wards, you know. However, there has been significant opposition and protest from the LGBT community, medical professionals and civil rights organisations to stop this attack on trans people. But I think we need a bit of hope.
We do. We really need a hope right now.
I think trans people and trans kids and parents and allies and the whole community just need a bit of hope. So I found some transgender warriors that you might not have heard of to bring us some joy.
Some trans joy.
Oh, got a little book. So they're an old friend of ours, Stormy Delaverie.
Stormy.
So this is a quote from Stormy. When asked, would you prefer people to refer to you as he or she? This is how Stormy responded. I tell people, use whatever makes you comfortable. A sad song doesn't care whose heart it breaks, but there's no use in singing any sad song. At age 15, I got beaten up badly by two gangs twice. My grandfather told me if I didn't stop running, I'd be running all my life. I stopped running and I haven't run a day since. I got scars all over my body. My body is 40 miles of bad road. Some of it wasn't at work, it was on the street, like helping some elderly person getting attacked. You can't walk past that. I grew up in Bayou, And you know, we swamp fighters are a lot different to the street fighters. I'm like an alligator, quicker, faster, and unpredictable. It really doesn't matter whether you're male, female, gay, straight, whatever you want your identity to be, no one has the right to take your life or beat you down for it. It started with that Stonewall. They call it a riot, a rebellion. It was civil disobedience. They were banged and bruised, and some were put in jail, but everyone got tired of being pushed around, of being raided. The cops got the surprise of their lives. Those queens were not going to take it any longer. I was coming around the corner and got hit right dead in the eye. I got a few hot licks against the cops. I have no regrets. If I did, I wouldn't have lived this long.
Wow.
So that was Stormy. Now I want to tell you a little bit about what Stormy achieved in her life to show you, like, how fruitful a life can be, no matter how hard it is. Don't cry.
Oh my God.
So for over a decade, Stormy performed as a drag king in the Jewel Box Review, which was North America's first racially integrated drag review. But she was photographed by a world-famous photographer, Diane Arbus, as well as other friends and lovers in the arts community. She is now considered to have been an influence on gender non-conforming women's fashion.
Wow.
Decades before unisex styles became accepted. As an activist, Stormy claimed that they threw the first punch at Stonewall. And throughout the 80s and 90s, Stormy worked as a bouncer for several lesbian bars in New York City.
She was iconic.
She was a regular at Gay Pride. And for decades, she served her community as a volunteer street patrol worker and named herself the Guardian of the Lesbians.
That is fantastic.
In June 2019, Delaviri was one of the inaugural 50 American pioneers, trailblazers and heroes inducted in the National LGBTQ Wall of Honor within the Stonewall National Monument in New York City. Next.
Oh, this is going to be interesting.
We have some beautiful insights on the intersex experience from Morgan Holmes.
The transgender warriors.
We live in a binary system that has only two ways of classifying anatomical sex. It is not, therefore, an easy task for most people, feminists included, to understand intersexuality as anything except completely different. Indeed, so different that it qualifies as a medical abnormality. But what many intersex persons, myself included, have in common with women is that we also live in this world as women. We were raised to be women, to be accorded only whatever rights and privileges women can manage to obtain within the confines of her race and class in patriarchy. Because of the range in forms that intersexuality takes, there are some for whom it is easier to assume a single sex identity and some for whom it is more difficult.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Enforced through lifelong medical intervention.
Wow.
What is even more difficult than identifying oneself as a member of the community is attempting to define one's identity as an intersex woman. The task requires taking an identity which has been made illegitimate by culture and has been stolen through surgery.
Wow.
Yeah.
That last bit, I've never heard it being voiced so perfectly.
You can see her here with a child.
Oh, bless her.
Had children.
Mm-hmm.
Went on to participate with Max Beck and others in the first North American demonstration about intersex issues, which was in 1996. Demonstration was called Hermaphrodites with Attitude.
Clicks for that.
The event is now commemorated internationally as Intersex Awareness Day. Morgan is a professor of sociology and trained in the anthropology of medicine, bioethics and law, and has written extensively in the area of intersex studies.
Incredible.
So she has gone to school and fought for intersex people her whole life. And it's an amazing achievement, I think.
Incredible. A voice that needs to be heard.
Yeah. So Morgan Holmes.
Well, thank you.
You rule.
Oh, thank you.
You rock. Now, next.
Mm-hmm.
Here are some elegant words on gender from Craig Hickman. I'm a black gay performance artist. Man enough to let his woman shine and woman enough to let his man roar. I find that as a cross-gendered artist and person that I have a very big responsibility to myself and to the people who hear and read my work, because gender roles stifle, and in my opinion, are the basis for all oppression. I feel like the world would be liberated if people ignored gender roles. I often am seen by people as, what's that? To which I usually respond, isn't beautiful enough? And faces fall and crack, and eyebrows may raise, and people are left thinking about something that they didn't expect to be thinking about. And so, I suppose, when I go out into the world, I carry it all with me, and my very presence is for most people a confrontation. So, Craig went on to live an amazing life, still alive. He said he was inspired by his selfless mother and his green-fingered father.
Oh.
Craig embarked on a life of giving back to his community and feeding people. Craig has been an organic farmer, a small business owner, a chef, a poet, an author, and an actor. And also the first openly gay African-American to serve in the main House of Representatives.
Wow, that's incredible.
Winning his primary election in 2012 by nearly 80% and serving until 2018.
Good on you, Craig.
Craig and his husband, Jop Blom, what a name, now live in Maine. They own and operate a farm, raising organic produce, dairy and livestock. They also host a community garden and a fresh food bank for anyone in need.
Adorable.
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 Go, Craig. So... you smashed it. And look. Beautiful.
Oh, wow. Craig. Woo.
That's it.
That's brilliant. I loved those. Those are some trans warriors that you felt needed to be heard.
Exactly. I think people need to see that life is more than just this moment, and that you can have a long, extensive, multifaceted existence.
Mm-hmm.
That includes activism and includes mm-hmm. anger and mm-hmm. includes fighting, but also includes love and includes joy and includes achievement and
it's so easy
pride.
To paint the world in such a harsh light.
There's so much more that all of these people have experienced.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we don't talk enough about it, so that's what I'm going to start doing. These are my little stories of our unsung transgender warriors. What do you think about that, Em?
Brilliant. I loved that book of treasure, to say the least. It was really nice to hear about these people that I've obviously never heard of. Mm. Well, I'd heard of Stormy, actually. The thing is, we often, me and you, we just sit in a room and we say about these incredible people and we tell their story.
Mm-hmm.
But I think what we don't do, maybe as much as we should do, is hearing the voice and hear what they have to say.
Yeah,
because our perspective is just very, two perspectives.
Yeah. And it's also... revolves around our experiences.
Exactly.
So to actually hear their words.
Yeah, really, really was nice.
And their perspective on their own gender and mm-hmm. their own experiences.
Mm-hmm.
Especially Morgan Holmes.
Yeah.
Who is an intersex person.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was just, I just never read anything like that.
Yeah.
And maybe that's my ignorance for not trying to find that. But they're people who have who face so much oppression and it's not really spoken about.
Yeah, definitely. I adored the Stormy one,
yeah.
quote, so much so that her perspective on gender and how she says, it was the quote where she said, what are your pronouns? And then she called me what you like. It's made me really reflect on my own pronouns. And I think I've been really battling with it recently that, I'll be having a great conversation with someone and I'll really be enjoying the conversation. And then they'll slip up and just say my pronouns wrong.
Mm.
And it kind of segues the conversation into that. I'm like, we were having a great conversation beforehand
yeah.
and now you're apologising and you're feeling really bad about getting my pronouns wrong when actually all I care about is what we were talking about before.
Mm-hmm.
And it's made me reflect Stormy's attitude and perspective and how she sees value in herself. And I always think if I change my pronouns from they, them, that I'm undermining my gender when actually, call me what you want.
Yeah.
Call me what you want. I think this is a big moment for me. The they, them's out the window, mate. I'm non-binary. That's through thick and thin. But... through Stormy's influence, it's really made me think.
If you do have a preference on what pronouns are used, that's great, fine. Mm. It's completely fair. And
I do like being called they, them, but yeah.
Yeah.
It's a weird one. I still need to delve into that with myself.
I think that Stormy's perspective was that it's an internal experience of knowing yourself.
Yes,
and that's what exploring gender and how she spent her whole life exploring gender roles, what you can do, what you can't do.
Mm. I'm scared that if I go back on it though from being they them that I'm doing an injustice, doing a disservice to my non-binary community. But I need to get that out of my head, don't I?
I mean, feel it, go through it.
Yeah, and sit with it for a bit and see.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, so thank you for opening my eyes about that.
You're great. Welcome.
You always do. You always open those eyes.
Yeah. Hold them open. You've not blinked in years.
She's currently holding them open right now. Next up, we have the generation, the 80 years generation changes.
Oh, yeah. This was a fun one. I think what you were, your through and through message
mm-hmm.
of the fact that, with all of the generation chat, we kind of criticise each other and notice the differences more than the common values that we have throughout the generations.
Clicks.
Yeah, you like that, right? Mm-hmm. But like, that's what, like, we should connect with our elders. This is what this podcast is about, like, it connecting is. With our elders, mm-hmm. and recognizing that over time people have experienced different levels of acceptance, and no one's better than anyone else, you know?
100%.
And actually, the experience we're living through now, mm-hmm. has been given to us, and we have to give back to the next generation, and that's all it is. That's all life is.
Yeah. Let's be resilient, guys. Let's do it.
Enjoy this discussion.
Did you know, Hester, that every 80 years, there is a major shift in the way that people think and behave? This 80-year cycle is known as the saeculum.
Oh, what a fruity word.
Isn't it? A saeculum is a length of time roughly equal to the potential lifetime of a person, or, equivalently, the complete renewal of a human population.
Okay, yeah, I'm with you.
You're with me. Each saeculum is characterised by four different generations, and each generation has a distinct role to play in shaping society.
Gotta love those categories.
We love a category. The Silent Generation, born between 1928 and 1945, are marked by their conformity and conservatism. They are not only loyal to their careers, but also to their religious beliefs, their relationships, and their families. They value stability, and likewise are stable and dependable, because what they went through and grew up with was quite unstable.
The World Wars, you're referring to the World Wars.
Unfortunately,
pretty heavy going. You're going to want to have a little bit of conservatism, a little bit of stability there, aren't you?
Yes, exactly. The baby boomers, aka the longest living generation in history.
The boomers.
Are born between 1946 and 1964, are known for their focus, discipline, and a strong work ethic. They're at the forefront of what is called a longevity economy. Whether they are generating income in the workforce or in their turn, consuming the taxes of the younger generations.
I see. They've lived the good life.
They've lived a very good life.
La Dolce Vita.
Generation X, born between 1965 and 1980, are resourceful and independent, and are good at maintaining a work-life balance.
Oh yeah, Raver Daves.
Raver Daves, you know the one. They were the first generation to grow up with a personal computer. Mm-hmm. Gen Xers tend to have liberal views on social issues. They are more ethnically diverse than boomers. Millennials, aka the largest living group, born between 1981 and 1996, are often described as motivated, creative, and open to change.
That's me!
They're tech savvy, care about more than just a paycheck.
Oh yeah.
And are accustomed to having a voice and a seat at the table.
They like their opinions.
They love them. And we love their opinions, to be fair. Generation Z, e.g. Gen Z, born between 1997 and 2012, grew up with technology, the internet and social media, and are known for being resourceful, independent learners who value diversity and inclusive culture, and place a priority on well-being and mental health in the workplace.
Oh, they do, don't they?
We love that shit.
Feelings.
We love it.
Communication.
Mm-hmm, honey, tell me what's wrong.
I love it. Fuck it. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. They're great. Me. Anyway. Finally, Generation Alpha, born between 2010 and 2024. So the current babies that are in the bellies of the mummies.
Wow, they're not even born.
Exactly. The kids who grew up in a pandemic, understandably, are cautious about hygiene and illness, have a little bit of anxiety about all that.
Which we never talk about.
No one
mentions it. And like, obviously that's impacted them so much.
Completely. They not only feel declined in their schoolwork, but also social interactions. They've missed out on so many important things like school life. They're going to need some talking. They're going to need some talking, you two.
They're going to need some help. They need some empathy.
They do, exactly. They are digital natives and probably have the highest screen time out of us all. Mm-hmm. They also care about social and environmental issues for obvious reasons. There are different attitudes and values that have played out over time. Society's views on LGBTQ+ rights is one area where we can really see the impact of the generational shifts. Mm. The Silent Generation may have been more conservative, but they laid the groundwork for the activism that was to follow.
Yeah, okay. No one really talks about that. Like, despite not having a rich history of shifting gay rights, mm-hmm. there was still a lot of people who had their voices heard, mm-hmm. that led to some of the civil rights movements that followed, right?
Exactly, that's what I'm going on to say now. The baby boomers were at the forefront of the fight for equality in the 60s and 70s.
Hell yeah, they were.
Really important.
They did a lot of stuff. They got a lot of stuff done, guys.
Civil rights movement cannot be forgotten. Generation X saw the first openly gay politicians and celebrities. And the millennials have continued to push for greater acceptance and inclusivity. And according to the Gallup poll, 15.9% of Gen Z adults in the US identify as LGBT.
Go on.
Generation Alpha are unfortunately too young to really collect any data as of yet. But I think a really important observation to make is that there has always been somewhat a constant evolution of acceptance and love.
Yeah, Emma.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to appreciate it.
We really do have to be grateful and show gratitude for that. As we move into a new saeculum, it's hard to say exactly what the future will hold for LGBTQ plus rights.
Yeah.
Especially with the scary and quite frankly dangerous legislations that are populating the news at the moment. Mm-hmm. Like Uganda's anti-homosexuality bill, the UK government pursuing the change of the 2010 Equality Act, and some states in the US are proposing laws to outlaw drag in public due to ridiculous uproar from the extreme far right towards the innocent drag story hours. Hard times.
It's hard times, man. It's hard times. Like, there's a lot going on.
There is. But despite that, I think it's important to remember how far we have come, especially in the past 80 years. It's not a time to go backwards. We will continue to come together to face prejudice. We'll continue to love and care for one another. We are resilient. I wish we didn't have to be. But for the many who have fought for us, we will continue to finish their fight for our LGBTQ plus children.
Inspired.
Nice clicks. Should we do clicks?
Did you do clicks and clicks? Yeah. You know what? You're right, Emma. Don't let it get you down.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's a lot to be done.
And a lot that has been done.
Yeah. And we're going to keep going.
And we're
going
to keep going.
Because that's what life is for.
Yeah. Hester, there's a James Baldwin quote that everyone needs to hear right now. The world is before you. And you need not take it or leave it as it was when you came in. What he's urging people to do there is to challenge the status quo and work towards creating a better world for themselves and others.
Mm.
He believed that individuals have the power to shape their own destinies and the world around them, and that they should not simply accept the way things are, but strive to change them. Baldwin was a fierce critic of social injustice, particularly racism and homophobia.
Hell yeah, he was.
Mm-hmm. He used his writing and activism to challenge dominant narratives and called attention to the ways in which these systems of oppression shape people's lives.
Mm.
He believed that the struggle for justice is ongoing and that each generation has a responsibility to continue to work and build upon their achievements.
Yeah, man. And that's what we've been talking about all day.
All day. Big common theme today, isn't it? So, a bit about James Baldwin and who he was. James Baldwin was one of the most iconic gay figures of the 20th century. He was a writer, an activist, and public intellectual who spoke out about racism and homophobia and other forms of oppression. As a gay man, Baldwin faced discrimination and persecution for his sexuality, but he refused to be silenced. Another incredible quote from him that I think is just as important is, "I am what time, circumstance, history have made of me. Certainly, but I am also much more than that. So are we all." He had such a beautiful way with words.
Oh, he did.
Yeah. Baldwin's work helped to challenge stereotypes and break down barriers for LGBTQ plus people, both within and outside of the black community. He was an important voice in the civil rights movement and a trailblazer for queer representation in literature and culture. Let's continue to honour his legacy and work towards a more inclusive and accepting world.
Yes, Emma. Big inspired today.
Very big, big, big inspired energy.
I mean, the thing is, when you feel like you can't do something or you don't matter, without James Baldwin, we would be in totally different positions, you know what I mean? Whether it's art or writing or film or TV or academics or anything, anywhere you are, you're important, and whatever you do around you matters and it will make a difference for someone else, so you have to do it. And James Baldwin knew that, and that's what he's saying in these quotes, you know.
Yeah,
we all matter, right? Like, it's just, it's about like choosing to believe it or not.
Oh, wow. Hot take.
Hey, Jesus.
Hot take. What I love about the three topics that we've just spoken about, we have spoken about the age differences of everyone. Mm-hmm. We've spoken about the personal perspectives.
Lives.
And lives and joy that people have had and lived through. And then we've talked about James Baldwin, which I think was an absolute pioneer for how to negotiate adversity and be resilient.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree, Em. I think we've done...
Done a good one this one.
Done a good one this week. I hope you enjoy it, guys. It's
really enjoyed it.
It was really good. It was really fun to make.
It was.
Me and Emma are feeling very inspired.
We are. And a bit of advice, guys. Like, obviously, seeing the news, good God, it's heavy, isn't it?
It is.
We all feel that. We can really feel that as a community. But let's just hold each other's hands and keep going.
Yeah.
Don't let the
get you down,
no.
Eh?
No. And not everyone's a fucker. You'd be surprised. Most people just want to love, but they don't know how. And trying to protect things in themselves that they unfortunately see in us that we express so openly and freely.
And beautifully.
And beautifully.
And fruitily.
And fruitily.
So, yeah, that's it. Well, me and Emma are going to finish now because we are going insane. thanks for listening.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
Please subscribe to the podcast and keep your eye out for all of our future content.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot more
there is
to come from. Emma once asked me if I think we'll run out of stories.
I did.
And I said, Emma, no. There is an entire world of stories. It's so exciting. And I think everyone connecting with the history, it seems to have had a real impact.
Mm-hmm.
All right now.
Okay.
Let's go to the pub. See you later.
Bye.